well, they don't function. And at one point also worked at the Office of Fiscal Analysis. So we, I'd say, struck gold with this hire because she has tons of experience. And I've known her a little bit, and I know her better now, and I think she's aces. And so I would like to now, maybe I've embarrassed her, but turn to Jen Proto to at least say hello or what have you. And then she will provide the legislative report to you later on in the agenda. And I'm going to hang around in case there's some weird question that only I could answer. But this may be the last meeting I'm at. And also, I'll be leaving a little early because I have a noon dentist's appointment. But having said that, if Jen would like to say hello. Or...
Hi, everyone. Jen Proto, happy to be here. And yes, Andrew gave me quite the welcome and compliments, which I appreciate. It's been great getting up to speed on all of the ADS bureaus, and looking forward to hearing all the issues that this board is going to discuss today. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. Welcome.
Welcome.
And thanks, Andrew. Okay, other MSBE staff members. Hearing none, any members of the public who wish to identify themselves, please do so now. Okay, hearing none, I see that Mary Silverberg is here, so let's we can note her presence.
Good morning, everybody. I just need to also add one thing. I'm with you until 11:30, and then I have to leave for another appointment. So if there is anything that we need to vote on, and it, my presence helps to contribute to a quorum for that vote, if we can do it before 30, I'd be happy to.
Noted. Thanks, Mary. Moving on to the next item on the agenda then. We have public comment. I do have a board member who wishes to offer some comments. I'm going to ask that person to hold off until anyone from the public who wishes to be heard has been heard. So with that, I'd like to put out the call for any members of the public to speak. They have an opportunity to do so now. Going twice. Going three times for any member of the public who wishes to speak. Hearing none, I yield the floor to Steve Thal.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Chairman and all the board members and guests. Thank you. There are just two items I just wanted to bring to your attention. As many of you know, we're residing at Masonicare Retirement Community in Wallingford. And one of the things that we started a couple months ago is a low vision support group. We had one before the pandemic, but we're getting started now. We've had about 5 meetings, and we seem to be growing by leaps and bounds, and it's our hope to have a representative from BSBE to come down and speak to the group. Having said that, the second thing is I'm a little concerned about how we're going to be approaching Blind Equality Day. I know it's June, but we need to get hopping on that if we're going to do it, and I think it's important for us to decide the plan. The plan being, is it just going to be a proclamation read, or are we going to get together, say, with Chris Radio, the Eastern Blind Center, and some of the other, and also the Connecticut Access Libraries, just for examples, as other resources, and work together. And I also understand that it is this Disability Month for employment. So I think if we're going to do anything, we got to get hopping and start this month to really plan, put it together, get the people together, and make it work. So I'm hoping that if we do decide to go forward, that we move forward and have several events going on during the month to keep reminding people, not let it be just a proclamation. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Our next item on the agenda, under old business, we have the minutes from 16 March 2023 for action. Do I have a motion to adopt?
Eileen Akers, so moved.
I have a motion to adopt from Eileen Akers. Do we have a second?
Beth Rival, second.
We have a second from Beth Rival. Any discussion? Hearing none, there is one thing I'd like to add. I sent a note to Rhea yesterday regarding the minutes, and regarding, in particular, minutes bloat that we've been suffering from the last several years. The minutes excluding addenda, which are reports from staff, is up to 18 pages. That's a lot of stuff to read. It's also a virtual guarantee that nobody is going to read it. If people want a transcript of the meeting, they can ask the agency, or they can put in an FOI request. I have asked Rhea to please limit the minutes to items regarding I lost for words here for just a moment. On the call to order, adjournment, votes, and motions. If any of those need explanation, certainly some explanation should be provided. But if we're going to have an exchange between Mr. X, Ms. Y, and MXZ, I don't see that that really serves a purpose in terms of illuminating what we're doing. And again, if somebody wants a transcript, they can ask for it. So in order to relieve the burden on staff that does the writing and editing of the minutes, I have made this request. And I look forward to having minutes that we'll actually be able to read. With that, all those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the minutes are accepted. Under new business, we have work group reports. Low vision. Steve, you have the floor.
No, I don't have any report at this time because we moved the low vision to the staff.
In which instance then, Carol, you have the floor.
Yes, I can give you a little bit of an update, Al. This is Carol. So the staff, we did meet and we worked on updating all of the documents, the procedures and stuff for low vision providers to apply to become vendors and those sorts of things. So that has been done. I did receive one application from a low vision provider, and I have since asked for his copy of his liability insurance and stuff and the licensure information. And then once I get that back, I'll convene the committee to go through all of that information. So that's currently where we are.
Any questions for Carol regarding the Low Vision Committee? Carol, I do have a question. With regard to the criteria for being added to the list, has the agency explored perhaps reducing the burden on the providers so that it would encourage more people to apply to be on the list?
I can't say that we've looked at that, but I'm happy to do that with the committee because it is quite a lengthy application.
Agreed. I mean, obviously, we want to be sure that people who are on this list have the credentials to be there. But by the same token, we have to have a balance between making sure that we have everything we need from that person and making the process so onerous that people are going to be discouraged from applying. So with that, I look forward to any recommendations the agency could provide on that. I'm sorry, the Bureau could provide on that.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol. Any other questions for Carol? Hearing none, education, employment and training, and technology committees seem to be lacking in terms of leadership and membership. So I'm going to take a pass on those for now and remind the board that this is part of our work and we really need people to step up and offer to at least keep track of these items. I mean, I don't expect a lengthy report every month. I don't expect anything profound or particularly incisive, but it is helpful in our mission as advisors to the board to know what's going on and for people to step forward and say, yeah, I'd like to keep track of that, and I'd be willing to tell you something every meeting about it, even if that is, I have no report. So with that, I'm going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which are administrative items. And the first item we have here is progress on filling vacant and anticipated positions. And following that, we have a report from the director. I think we can combine these two items. And by means of disclosure, I want to say that on the 24th of May, Steve Saul, Carol, and I had a meeting where we discussed several items. And I'm going to ask Carol to summarize that as she goes over these two agenda items. Carol, you have the floor.
All right, so I'll start with the staff vacancy positions at BSBE that we're currently working on. For clerical, we have a brand new administrative assistant. Her name is Lisa Drew. She starts tomorrow, actually. So hopefully as people meet her, they can welcome her. We are also hiring a Secretary 2 position. I'm currently working on getting interviews scheduled for that. We have 9 applicants that we're going to interview. So hopefully by the next meeting, we'll have a Secretary 2 hired. In Children's Services, we're doing a replacement for a quality control reviewer. That was the position that was previously held by Lori McCruel. She's currently still with us as a temporary worker retired. This is her last TWR year. And I know interviews were scheduled. I'm not 100% sure if those interviews have actually happened yet. But there is progress being made there. For adult services, Gary Allen started. Gosh, I forget the date that he started. It was last month. It was in May. As the first rehab technology teacher for adult services. We are currently hiring a second one. The position was posted and it closed, and interviews just need to be scheduled for that position. In VR, we're hiring 2 transition counselors. Those are our pre-eds counselors, one for the northern part of the state, one for the southern. We thought we had one for the northern part of the state, hired, the person accepted, and then declined. So that position is going to be reposted again. And there's a bilingual counselor position that was posted. And Mary, I think you had interviews yesterday for that position. And then there's also a rehab technology teacher position that was posted for VR. And just real quick, Mary, did you want to give an update on those 2 since you're here?
Sure. Yeah, we interviewed for the bilingual yesterday, and we do have a recommendation that will be out for hire. So we're thrilled about that. And we'll be interviewing for the rehab teacher shortly. We need to set those up, but we do have applicants to kind of sift through and interview.
All righty, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And then in BEP, we're currently not hiring any positions. So we have quite a few positions that we've been actively recruiting for. Another position that we're looking into at BSBE since Raya Martin is now our Secretary 1, who's taking minutes. It was a promotion for her, so yay, congratulations to her. She was the office assistant in the Braille unit, and so we're looking at making that position more of a processing tech position that the whole agency can use. But that is in the very beginning stages, so it's a lot of work to get a reclassification of position through that whole process. So Mary or Tyrell, did I leave any positions out? I think those are all of them.
Yeah, I think you've covered them.
That's it for us, yeah.
So that has been a lot of the focus, honestly, right now for BSB. I don't have my notes in front of me about what you, Steve, and I had discussed a couple weeks ago. That was a good chunk of it. Blindness Equality Day was part of it. And so was... It might have been low vision. Does that sound correct, Al?
Let's see. Oh, excuse me. I'm just looking over my notes, too. Positions filled, yes. A lot of our discussion was the basis on which positions are filled, the current and future positions, process for approving positions for refill. Excuse me. Yeah, that was a very thoroughgoing discussion. It took up most of our meeting. And then we had Blind Americans Equality Day organization and used equipment in the stock room. We talked a little bit about that. And we concluded the meeting with several items left to cover, and we had decided that we will hold a second meeting among Errol, Steve, and myself later on this month.
So then just a few other agency updates. We are still working through technical assistance with the OIVTAC, the Older Individuals Who Are Blind Technical Assistance Center, in our adult services program. We had our in-person training, and we set 3 goals for us to work on and complete within the next year. So one goal was to revise, update our internal policy and procedures manual for adult services, because it is, I think the last version was from 2012. We then want to create a survey for consumers receiving services, consumers 55 or older receiving services. And then we also want to implement a pre and post assessment for those goals that consumers have when they come in for services, you know, and the skills they're taught, services they're received, and then do that post assessment to see where they are at the end of all that. So there are 3 very lofty goals that we set, but the adult services staff were really confident that they could get those achieved. And then children's services, the school year has ended, so the teachers were, you know, really working and wrapping up the school year, and we're currently working through which schools are needing, you know, education consultants for the next school year, and we're working on fulfilling orders for Braille books and all those things that the students will need for, I think it's mid-late August when school starts again. So I'm not going to touch on VRMBEP because Tyrell and Mary are both here. So, but are there any... Oh, no, I have a few other things. So I mentioned jot forms before. So we are working on that. Joe Wazeka and Michelle Zordon have been working on that to help make our forms accessible. So I was just sent last week our first form for jot forms to try, which is our leave request. We're trying an internal form first to see how that goes before we start, you know, doing forms that would go out to consumers and stuff to make sure we have our workflows and stuff correctly set up within the system. We're also moving forward on updating our System 7, which is our electronic case management system. So Libra, who's the company who owns System 7, they're upgrading the versions right now. So I forget what version we're on, but update it to the most current version of System 7. And then once that is done, then we'll start working on enhancements to the system for improvements. We're also going to be working on surplusing items from the agency. There's quite a bit of stuff. And so now that hopefully things are slowing a little bit because it's summer, the stock room is going to be working with me to help get stuff surplus. So hopefully by the end of summer, I will have most of our stuff surplus out of BSB that needs to be removed. is all I have.
Questions for Carol?
Carol,
yes.
How is the...
Oh, sorry, Steve.
Go ahead.
No, it's all yours,
Steve.
Oh, there you go.
No, the question I had was, how are we doing with getting our staff people who are blind out into the field in a timely manner?
So we currently have 3 special assistants, and you know, staff are going out at least 3 days a week to see consumers. We have quite a few staff who are on an alternate work schedule, meaning because they're like 35 hour a week people. So like they get there's a day off every other week roughly. So the staff are going out 3 days a week, and at the moment, the 3 special assistants that we have, they're not being fully utilized every single week, and so there's more time for the first staff to go out, but that's where we're sitting at now. So it's hard to make a justification to hire any more special assistants when the 3 that we have aren't being fully utilized. I also got approval from fiscal. If there happens to be a day where there's a special assistant not available, you know, staff can take their own transportation and then submit for reimbursement. So that was approved, which is another option for staff.
So this is Eileen. Is there anything, as a follow-up to this discussion, are the people who need staff assistance, are there any meetings or trainings or anything being done to try to, so these people could perhaps use their time more efficiently to use staff assistance? I'm thinking about the discussion from the last meeting.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm understanding.
I'm just wondering. I'm talking about the people who utilize the staff assistance. It seems that there was a lot of bunching up and maybe someone needing a special assistant would only schedule 1 appointment for the whole day when they might better, you know, have a better handle on scheduling. I'm just wondering if there's any work being done to help those people get a little better organized, perhaps.
Okay, I'm sorry, I understand now. So I've worked with the blind staff and the special assistants on having much better communications. So they all have each other's contact information, phone numbers, email addresses, in their phones, in their computers. They also have shared their calendars with each other. And so I've been really working on promoting better communication, so that way they can talk to each other. If one person has only scheduled 1 appointment, you know, that schedule comes out every Friday. So then other staff, you know, could then see, oh, well, there's still a half day where, you know, I can schedule appointments. And then they can communicate and then work that out between each other and the special assistants to make that happen. So I do think that has improved. It has improved some. I do think there's still some work that needs to be done. But I think we're heading in the right direction with the scheduling and things.
Good. My other question, I am still getting calls, and I don't know about other board members, from complaints from consumers that calls are not being returned. And that is a matter of concern.
When you say not being returned at all, or are voicemail boxes full, or is it just not
in some cases, not being returned at all.
Okay. I have received some complaints, and the staff members that I received complaints on, I have talked to them about that, and I've also reiterated to staff that if you're going to be out, to change the voice message on your phone and to put an out-of-office reply on your emails and stuff, so that way staff know that you're going to, or not staff, I'm sorry, consumers know when you're going to be out, And that has been improving. But I've told staff that if you're in the office or whatever, you know, a good 48 hours is, you know, a good time frame to get those phone calls returned. So if there are any specific staff, please talk to me, you know, after this meeting, and then I'd be happy to address those.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Carol?
Carol, just a quick question on the telephones. Is there a new phone system coming in, or is there a phone system challenge that we have to deal with?
In regards to what specifically with the phones?
Oh, people returning calls. I'm just curious if there's a technology glitch going on. The fact that some of the voicemails aren't getting to where they're supposed to be.
Not to my knowledge.
I think I can offer some context here. As a state employee, the Department of Labor has a particular phone system called Avaya, which lots of other, it's a vendor, it's a large vendor that sells to public agencies and private companies. And the way our system is set up, when you get a phone call on your office phone, it goes straight to voicemail. I don't even have the time. It takes a split second to pick up the phone. I don't even have time to pick up the phone. It goes straight to voicemail. For people who want their phones to ring, they actually have to ask our people in charge of phones to set up their phones so it'll ring. So I'm wondering if BSBY might have the same system, which would cause the issue I just described.
Yes, we do have Avaya. And so BSBY has the challenge of, yes, we have Avaya. And so they control some aspects of our phone system, but yet our IT department controls other aspects. So there's two layers that we have to deal with when it comes to our phones. And I do know IT is trying to work with Avaya to see if they can control all of the phones. But yeah, the ringing of the phones is something that has to be set. And I know staff have that set differently to where either it won't ring, go straight to voicemail, it'll only ring three times or whatever. But I want to say if it rings four or five times, it'll automatically go to voicemail anyway on other phones.
If I could jump in, this is Andrew Norton. I'm at home, so I just dialed my office phone just to check. It rang five times. One additional problem that came up during COVID, and we've told staff that they need to be checking their voicemails, which is you leave a message on someone's phone in the office, their office phone, and they're not in the office because of COVID. But we still live in the COVID world, in a sense, because state employees can now telecommute. And Al knows as well, but he didn't touch on this part of it. And that is, many people are working from home 4 days out of five. And this isn't really a big change for BSBY field staff, because they always were out in the field. If we have a Gianna Cho in Greenwich who covers O&M instruction for kids downstate, I don't really want to see her in Windsor. I want her with a kid in a school at Stanford or Norwalk. So I'm happy that I don't see her much, right? But if for those people, they've always lived life like that as BSBY field staffers. But other people who are office people may not always remember to check their messages, which you would do the minute you walk in your office door, but when you don't anymore. And that is one issue, but I'm not telling Eileen that that's the problem that answers all of these questions, but it's just an additional thing that needs to be kept on top of, that if you're still using your office phone to receive calls, you've got to check the answers remotely, the messages that people left, and some people don't.
And I think just to add to what you're saying, Andrew, just from personal experience, I think people do call and expect someone to pick up or to get a live person. So there's like many times that I'll get like a message, you know, so-and-so is trying to get in touch with you. And I'm like, I don't have a message. I have no idea that they called. Like, I think